Well, hi once again, race fans. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to our final podcast of the 2012 racing season here in the States. It's already 2013 in New Zealand as we head off and chat with our good friend Graham Standring as he joins us now here via mobile phone in his nice new Mercedes. Cruising on down the highway, and hopefully, Graham, you got to set it on cruise control so you don't get another ticket.
Yeah, I have. Mercedes is fantastic. It's got Bluetooth and all that sort of stuff, so it's just when the phone rings, I just push a button on the steering wheel and we're into it.
And as many of you know, down under, Graham is sitting at 100 career wins in a midget. Well, Graham, it's been an interesting two nights of the Crown Plaza International Midget World Series, both won by Kyle Larson. Is there anybody that has anything for him tonight as we head into the King of the Springs 40-lap midget feature event later this evening?
Not really, Sean. A quick roundup of the first two nights, the conditions. The very first night was very, very rough track, and the track had an awesome amount of grip in it because we'd had some rain here on Boxing Day. So the meeting was delayed one day, and the track was grippy, and it was every track. Then two nights later we raced, and the track was 180 degrees different. It was dry, slick, and everybody was using up tyres like there was no tomorrow. So Kyle was able to master both sets of conditions and do a great job. And really, so far, it's been Kyle Larson and Daylight. The rest of the guys are dicing it out for second place at this stage. And no one, even in that stage, has been really consistent in second. But probably most consistent would be Jerry Coons Jr., who's finished fourth on both nights. And Brad Mosen, who's finished third on both nights.
In night number two on the World Derby, Kyle lapped up to eighth place, putting Michael Pickens a lap down. Do you recall the last time you saw a midget race at Western Springs in which Michael Pickens was lapped during the feature?
No, I can't. But here's a little bit of help for Michael Pickens in his defense. His car was really badly wounded when he came together with Dave Darlin early in the heat race, and they bent the back axle, and they bent the shock absorbers, and they bent the floor pan, and they bent the shock towers. It really messed the car up. And because of we run 22 events and we've got a curfew of 10:30 p.m., they really didn't have time to check everything in the car. In essence, they were just putting the car together enough to get him through the B main, which he won. Started out of grid 17 for the main event, got up to 8th, but with Kyle off the front, it made Michael easy picking, excuse the pun. But he was not the Michael Pickens that we would normally see, and he did really do a fantastic job given the condition his car was in when they went through it after the end of the feature race and started working on it in the workshop the very next day.
Nathan Smee has been the lone representative over the last few years for the folks from Australia. He had a sixth place finish in the World Derby 30, but he did not have he had a DNF on Boxing Day. What's his racing been like so far?
I rarely rate Nathan Smee. I've been racing since 1983, and I've raced every Australian since then that's any worse. And there's been two guys. One of them's called Adam Clark, and the other guy, Nathan Smee, are for me the standout competitors from Australia. And they're as good as any New Zealander or American guy. But Nathan, in his own words, hasn't had the best of form so far this season. So he's been struggling a bit. His DNF on the first night resulted in an exhaust gas flange gasket blowing, and the car was making an unusual noise, which just put the noise above 95 decibels, which is a very, very absolute limit we're allowed in New Zealand. So the cars are heavily muffled, and with that extra exhaust noise, unfortunately for him, they black flagged him and he had to stop the race, hence the DNF. He was running in about 5th or 6th at that time, but really he's better driver than 5th and 6th places, so he's really done some work in the got their whole operation a bit more refined, and hopefully they're going to go better tonight.
And two guys that are really cagey veterans, and I'm sure you've had some tussles with these guys, Dave Darlin and the cruiser Corey Kruseman, and they sort of mirrored each other. Darlin finishing 7th on the opening night, but having a DNF on night number 2. Kruseman having a DNF on night number 1 and finishing 10th on night number 2. What's been the story behind these two drivers as they make the return to New Zealand?
Sure, we'll talk about Corey Kruseman first. their whole operation, along with Trevor Cooper, who was the lotto winner, won something like $26 million. Well, Corey Krugman drives with Trevor Cooper in that whole operation, and their cars were held up by freight coming down from the United States. So they were really on the back foot on night one, and they really didn't get their act together too much, and was quite a disorganized team. Night two for Corey Krugman was quite a bit better. He won a heat race. He did very well. I think he did okay in the pole shuffle, which is a one-on-one race with the next grid person. And, he looked more like himself in that situation, but still, obviously, he has got a bit to go. And then when we come to Dave Darwin, Dave did a great job on night one. Looked every bit the DD, or the people's champion, that we expect. Very aggressive and did a great job. But on night two, his driving really, in my opinion, not fell to pieces, but it was really quite rusty. Some of his passing manoeuvres weren't as slick or as accurate as they could have been. And in one case, him and Michael Pickens got together, Michael's damage, and really it was a racing incident, but I think Dave could nearly have avoided that. And in the main event, or in one of the heat races, Dave got taken out in a heat race. Two cars missed the incident, and Dave, the third guy into the incident, got tangled up in it. And in the feature event, the DNF was caused right on the last corner of the last lap. A guy spun and Dave hit him, which is really uncharacteristic of someone of his driving experience and driving caliber. But it just may be a coming together of time versus getting used to the situation, getting used to the car that he's driving. It's a very, very good car, a five-year slinger. And so, I guess, yeah, unusual. I was really surprised at Dave's sort of inaccuracies.
There's a number of names, Graham, that are popping up in the top 10 rundowns that we've heard about throughout the years, but seem a little bit more consistency now. Maskovich, Williams, McCutcheon. Talk a little bit about what those guys have been doing and how they have been bringing their game along to be there at the end of the night during this Crowne Plaza International Midget World Series.
Yeah, we're very blessed here in New Zealand. With Michael Pickens going so well, we've got a group of people that have been in the wings, and they've really picked up their game, trying to chase Michael down, and Brad Mosen's another guy that really matured, I guess. But so that's Michael Pickens and Brad Mosen are the two top guys. Chris McCutcheon's almost there, and then we had a group of young guys that were quite reckless, but so far this year they've shown remarkable composure. They've driven really well. This is Hayden Williams and Brock Maskovich. Brock Maskovich really has put in a concentrated effort through the winter to get his speedway career on track, and he's had two feature wins so far this year, done a really good job. Unfortunately, they put a hole in the block of engine the other night, but I believe they've got another engine put tonight. But we're looking at not necessarily the changing of the guard, but we're looking at the next group of young guys who are actually becoming good midget car drivers, and that's why their consistency is up there and why they're going so well.
As we turn our attention to the night's King of the Spring 40-lap midget feature event, what is the weather conditions like there on New Year's Day 2013 in Auckland?
Okay, well, as you'd expect, poor Americans, it's not 20 degrees below. There's no snow. I'm sitting in my Mercedes, and the temperature on the dashboard is 25 degrees Celsius, which is probably in the high 80s. It's an absolutely beautiful day. There's no doubt that the meeting's going to be on, and they're hard out on track preparation and things like that. So I'm almost expecting for conditions for the main event tonight, the 40-lap King of the Spring, for it to be dry slick. Now, that could be a real issue, because in our 30-lap event the other night, the guys only really just made it on the tyres that they were on, so we're hoping that they will make it through to 40, and there's a question mark on the 50 if we get the same conditions. They have had an extra day to prepare the track as opposed to last time, so it should be pretty good. But to answer your question, man, everybody over here is brown and tanned and having a great time.
You're making us all jealous, Graham. You know that.
I'm trying to, yes.
he's an ambassador not only for the sport of motorsports, but he's also an ambassador for tourism New Zealand. So when you call to get your plane tickets for next year, make sure you tell him that Graham Standring sent you over there as well. One other question I did have for you, you mentioned tires. What else will it take for a driver to win tonight, and can Kyle Larson make it three straight Crowne Plaza International Midget World Series wins?
Firstly, the tyres. Yeah, the tyres, I think they're just going to go to harder compounds in the American Racer range. The guys will be on SD44s, and in the Hoosier range, it'll be on 15s. So I think everyone's going to just go up a level in that regard. But also, again, we won't really tell until the evening progresses. It depends if they've got enough water. The problem we have here in New Zealand is that the meeting starts at, or racing starts at 6:30. And in that time of the day, the sun is still on the track. So what happens in the early couple of races is once they clear off a bit of dirt, they tend to cap off the surface. And by that, I mean they seal the surface off with a little bit of rubber, and then the moisture that's trapped underneath the surface can't come up and get through, and you can't keep shaving the surface off and driving on the better part of the track. So what happens is that as the sun goes down about 8:30 over here, 8:30 p.m., some of the moisture comes back up through the track, and it comes back up through on the outer line and down by the pole line, but in the middle of the track where it's capped off or sealed off by the rubber, we have trouble getting the grip there. If we get overcast in the afternoon, that can save that a little bit, but the glaring heat in the afternoon usually means that we're going to have a dry, slick track. And I forgot the second part of the question because I'm talking too much.
That's okay. I'm trying to think of it myself now, come to think of it. Oh, the second part of the question was, can Kyle Larson make it three straight wins tonight?
Watching him race, and it's an absolute joy to see him driving a midget the way that he is, with the accuracy that he's driving, with the composure. It surprises me how little he knows about car setup, but his operating window of expertise is far greater, it would appear, than anybody else's. So, for instance, if we had all our cars set up at level 10 and Kyle's was at level 9, Kyle could probably still do it because he can just make the most of the car that he's got. So I don't have any doubt in my mind that he can't do it. Failing a heat race DNF where he might have to come through the B main and take up grid 16 back in the feature, or even in that case, you know, he's just looked that much better than anybody so far. I believe he can do it. He told me at the conclusion of the meeting that no one has ever won the four international shows here, the 25, 30, 40, and 50 lap events, and he would like to be the first guy to do that. So with his sights set on that, I'm sure that he has every opportunity, and he has the determination and the skill set to be able to take out a 40 lap King of the Springs feature tonight.
I was going to say, I didn't think anybody had ever won all four in a row. You know, we've had some guys win two in a row, but, and of course, Dave Darling in years past has dominated the World Derby 30, and of course, Ron Sleepy Tripp, a 9-time winner of the 50-lapper. But I was going to say, I didn't think anybody did. What would you say his chances are, if he continues on and doesn't have any problems, what would you say his chances are becoming the first ever driver to sweep all four nights of the Crowne Plaza International Midget World Series?
If I was a betting man, and I've just heard the news about the American economy, if I was a betting man, I'd put the house on it.
That's either a good thing or a bad thing right now, the way our economy is going.
I know. I have to be the ambassador, remember, so it's important for me that I support the New Zealanders. It's really difficult to do that with someone with Kyle Larson's finesse and expertise at the moment. So I'm not necessarily a fence sitter, but if I had to jump either way, I'd be in the Kyle Larson camp.
I gotcha. Well, Graham, as always, we greatly thank you for your time, and you're a great ambassador for the sport and for tourism New Zealand. I'm sure they'll be sending you your check here in the near future. And we look forward to talking to you again over the next couple of days as we continue on and now go into our second decade. Yeah, that's right, folks. Our second decade streaming audio comes your way on January 1 here on the DirtTrackChannel.com as we bring you coverage of the King of the Springs 40-lap midget feature event. Graham, have a great night.
Just one thing. Sorry to
no worries.
Interrupt, but just got one thing. We've got, for the first time, we've got American drivers down here that aren't actually driving. We've got guys, blast from the past. We've got Bob Davison down here, who was a Western State guy, and his brother Jeff Davison used to have the yellow and black checkered midget car. Well, Bob Davison had heard so much about New Zealand, had spoken with Sleepy Trip, and said, Sleepy had said, look, you just got to come to New Zealand. So I've got my ambassador hat on here, but he just cannot believe the hospitality, he cannot believe the weather, and he cannot believe the quality of racing that he's seen so far. So if anybody, he said he would put that in his bucket list for anybody else. So if anybody wants to see a Midget Week New Zealand style, and get out of that freezing cold temperature and have to shovel ice everywhere and all that sort of stuff, forget that rubbish. Come to New Zealand.
Yeah, well, we just shoveled 6 inches of snow here the other day in central Pennsylvania, so I know what you're talking about. Graham, as always, is enlightening, and thanks so much, and have a great broadcast tonight.
Okay, thank you. Bye, Sean. Bye, everybody.
So don't forget, race fans, we start our second decade of streaming audio coming your way on a little bit later on this morning here on this January 1, 2013, with the King of the Springs 40-lap feature event right here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. For Graham Standring, I'm Sean Wood. Thanks for listening, everybody, and Happy New Year to all of our fans here in the States. So long for now.